RNZ Pacific Pula Vinaka, Amilika Pusiaki with the news. In Vanuatu, only 180 applicants to contest the snap election on October 13th got their names published by the Electoral Commission. The chairman of the commission, Edward Galtamet, said his office sent out 394 application forms. But on the closing date, just 225 applicants had returned their forms. Mr. Galtamet said, out of those 225, they only published the name of 180 eligible candidates during the first reading. He said there are 45 names the commission has put on hold because they have debts to pay before they can have their names published during the second reading on Wednesday local time. The commission has given them 72 hours to pay their debts, which include land rent, water bills, and road tax. Passengers from Samoa transiting through Auckland Airport had to sleep in a corridor after being refused entry to a departure lounge with seats, which was just meters away. The New Zealand Herald reports passengers had arrived about 2 a.m. Sunday morning New Zealand time. Christina Pesico reports.
The Herald reports the passengers were ushered to another part of the airport to wait for flights later that morning, only to be told they could not go into the departure lounge until 5 a.m. Photos and video footage posted by passengers showed dozens of people sitting or lying down in the corridor. A statement from Auckland Airport said while passengers transferring between international flights do not need to go through full border clearance again, they are required to be screened by aviation security on arrival. The statement said a dedicated transit screening point is operated by aviation security from 90 minutes before the first departing flight through to 11 p.m. An arrangement had been made to screen passengers outside of these hours, but this relied on being able to redeploy staff to the area.
Air New Zealand said it was across the unfortunate situation and it was working to support customers but referred the Herald's query to Auckland Airport and aviation security. A mosquito-borne diseases expert says the spread of dangerous diseases across the Pacific has come back due to the return of international travel. A joint Pacific workshop on mosquito-borne diseases in Brisbane brought several Pacific experts together to gather further information on the subject. The workshop coordinator, Dr. Tanya Russell, says inter-island transmission can be as simple as one infected person spreading the disease to the local mosquito population.
Well, one thing that we've really seen across the last couple of years with the closed borders is that COVID transmission between countries was minimised, but we also saw, particularly with dengue, that can have no cases in a small island, but then an infected person can come in and then it can take off and become quite a big outbreak. So,
a senior French military official is expected to release previously classified information about France's nuclear weapons tests in French Polynesia. The French High Commissioner to French Polynesia, Eric Spitz, says this disclosure is in line with the promise of transparency made by the French President Emmanuel Macron. The French leader had promised to turn a page in the relationship between France and French Polynesia, which is marred by the testing. The impact of the tests continues to be highly contested as veterans groups keep demanding France to pay compensation for those affected. Since 1995, the local health system has paid out $800 million to treat a total of 10,000 people suffering from any of the 23 cancers recognized by law as being the result of radiation. Between 1966 to 1996, France carried out more than 190 tests in the South Pacific, with the test site remaining no-go zones monitored by France. Two police officers were injured when they were shot at during an investigation into a marijuana plantation on Savai Island. Samoa police say officers responded to a call from Salelavalu village reporting a marijuana plantation. The officer officer suffered minor injuries after being shot at by a 12-gauge shotgun after conducting a drug raid on a marijuana plantation. The officers have since recovered and been discharged from hospital. Police have appealed to members of the public for any information that may lead to the arrest of the suspects. The Fiji Financial Intelligence Unit is warning of a current cryptocurrency scam in the country. The Fiji Times reported scammers had circulated advertisements on various Viber and social media groups using the official logo of a government agency and star photo. Unit Director Rasim Bucks said the advertisements, which state that individuals in Fiji can purchase Bitcoin, foreign exchange and binary trading using mobile money wallets or bank transfers, are fake. The unit has advised the general public to be vigilant when receiving offers for investments, loans and employment on any online or social media platform. In sport, the Fiji women's rugby team, the Fijiana, are preparing for the Women's Rugby World Cup. The team's first game will be played against England at Auckland's Eden Park on October the 8th. Loose forward player Sereima Lewinkila told Rugby World Cup media the team's current main goal is to build its unity.
The focus right now is unity. We are trying to get that together. I think once the girls, find that bonding and that gel, I think we'll be able to play anything.
The Kiwis coach Michael Maguire says it's great to have so many top NRL players lining up for Tier 2 teams at the Rugby League World Cup, but believes the sports eligibility laws need to change. He says they need to stop players switching allegiances so often. Samoa and Tonga will challenge the likes of Australia, New Zealand and England at this month's tournament, with a host of former Kangaroos and Kiwis playing for them. Samoa have named 8 NRL grand finalists in their squad, and Maguire says while that's good for the sport, the current rules can't continue. That's the latest news from RNZ Pacific. For more on our stories, head to our website rnzi.com.